This thing right here intimidates me. I just want y'all to know. Because I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm a talker. I just talk. So I don't even know if we'll use that. Good morning. How is everybody? You're good? You're good. James said right from the get-go about the enemy's ploy was to separate us from everything that God intended us to be, right? Basically, from each other, from the church, divide, conquer. That's his plan. And see, I'm just a talker. I got to say, I'm a talker. From the beginning, it was his job, right, to conquer, to divide, to conquer the enemy, right? From the beginning, Adam and Eve was made in the image of God. In his image, he made man, both male and female, in his image. Satan came along to destroy that, to separate Adam and Eve from communion with Father. The whole reason he existed was to separate. And he did that, right? There's lots of trees in the garden, right? But there's two trees that God called out, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, the tree of life. Everything's good for consuming. Everything's good for food. But don't eat this tree, because when you do, you surely will die. Adam physically didn't die, right? But God said, as soon as you eat of this tree, if you eat the fruit, you're going to die. So what died? Physically, God breathed into the lump of clay, and Adam became a living soul, living creature. So if God breathed his image into him, God doesn't have a head. God is spirit, right? He doesn't have hands. So the image that he was created in died. So our ability to image forth God died in that very moment. Because I told you like Romans 5, 2 Corinthians 5. Well, blame Linda, blame James, and blame all the songs, right? Because we probably won't go to any. I mean, I started writing down when the song said, oh, yeah, that's good too, that's good too. So that's where we're going. So maybe some of those. But we lost our ability. I mean, and some of it is actually in Romans 5, but. So the enemy's ploy was to separate us. And we lost communion with God at that very moment. Adam and Eve did, right? They lost communion. Romans 5 does say, so we're good with Romans 5. Through one act of disobedience, sin entered the world. And death through sin. So the problem was sin. But in 1 John... See, there you go. It wasn't on the list, was it? 1 John, why are you here? Now, I'm not talking about Victory Fellowship in this building. Why are you? I mean, why do you exist? Why did Jesus even come into the earth? Why did God send him? Why? And it's not because you're a sinner. Jesus didn't come into the earth because you're a sinner. Your sin put him there. My sin put him there. Because of sin, he had to come. Because Adam and Eve fell, they sinned, right? So they were separated from communion with God. And sin entered into the earth. And death through sin came in. So we lost. Communion was gone. Our ability to represent God in his image was gone. You were born into Adam, right? That's your nature. That's our nature. We were born into that. You had no choice in that. You were born into it. But he didn't come because you're a sinner. He came to pay the debt for sin. He came because you're a lost son. It's not a play on words. It's not. He came because of the value that you were created in. You were a lost son or daughter is the reason Jesus came into the earth. To give you the ability to reconcile, to restore everything that you were created to walk in from the beginning. Not to get to heaven one day. Heaven becomes a fruit of reconciliation, of being restored back to God and your ability to image forth His image, to walk in the image that you were created for. Jesus restored that, right? We preach heaven, or we preach Jesus is the way to heaven. You gain heaven. I don't know how all that's going to shake down one day, but it's going to shake down. And yes, you will gain heaven. But Jesus teaches us He's the way back to the Father. We sang a song, and I don't remember, I don't know the names of songs. But basically for me, it's He's our reward. Jesus is our reward. John 17, Sid kind of mentioned about John 17 last week. This is eternal life. John 17, 3, I think. Maybe it's 4. Somebody look it up. This is the corresponding class. It's not. See, you blame the worship team. I'm telling you. They're talking about authentic and just being real. And you know, this is. Can't spit polished. This joker, you know, that's not me. But what is it? John 17, 3 or 4? 3. We have 3. 3 going once, going twice, it's gone. It's John 17, 3. This is eternal life. This is eternal life, that you know God and that you know Jesus whom He sent. That's eternal life. It's not saying a prayer to get to go to heaven one day. Not to get something out of your relationship with the Lord. It's what you give to it. We live in a society to where a friend of mine was talking the other day about countries and how they begin, and somebody can really probably speak to this way better than I can. I'm just repeating what he said. But a group of people believed in something so much that they were willing to sacrifice to create a country, which kind of reminds you of the U.S., right? They believed in something so much that they were willing to sacrifice whatever it cost to go after it. And to me, it sounds kind of like the gospel. We have what we call church, and we come in and we come in to worship. You know, and sometimes I think I've actually said this here before. It's we have church shopping now, right? I mean, churches offer all these different, and there's nothing wrong with programs. There's nothing wrong with stuff. I'm not saying all that. But the intent behind it is to bring people in. And there's nothing wrong with that. We want people to come in, right? But the intent of the whole existence of churches, we know it, is to bring people in. But what are we going to introduce them to? I mean, they were talking in the worship, or whatever room that is. I was going to say worship room. That's not what worship room is. About being authentic. And we do this thing now in church to where it's all about what you can get out of it. Well, you know, they have a good program for my kids. I really like the worship. Preacher man, he's really on it. And it's about all that we get from it. And it's kind of like in countries, it's kind of like where we are now. It's about what the U.S. owes me or I can get out of it, not really what I can give to it to make it better. It's about how what all I can get out of it. And that's kind of how we do church now, or what we know as church. It's about what I can get out of it, what does it do for me. And the gospel is all about you giving to it. In return, you do get stuff, don't get me wrong. But he's the focus. He's our reward. He's the reason that we exist. Now because of Jesus. Jesus come. I was going to say that a while ago. I probably didn't even say it, did I? First John 3. This is the reason Jesus came. Not to get you to heaven. He came to destroy sin. Period. 1 John 3. This is the reason Jesus was sent to the earth, to destroy the works of the enemy. Period. It's gone. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. Romans 8, 3. God accomplished what the law couldn't accomplish by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemning it once and for all. What's kind of odd to me is, as Paul says in Romans 8, that God accomplished what the law couldn't accomplish by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, right? It's kind of odd to me. Because you flip over, well, in my Bible, you flip over a few more pages in Colossians, same author, talks about Jesus being the exact image, the expressed image of an invisible God. So was he in the image of God, or was he in the image of sinful flesh? Yes, and. Right? Jesus come and showed us a way, right? He prepared a way. He made a way. He annihilated sin. The thing that separated us from God is sin. And death, not a physical death. Yes, death will come, possibly one day, unless you're here when he returns, and then you won't face it. I don't guess. I don't know how all that's going to shake down either, but there you go. But the death that in Romans, it's Romans 5 and 8. Hey, well, let's just go there. We're going to follow through with that. Romans 5. We'll follow through with that. I don't know if I got glasses. I think I do. Romans 5. So, the reason Jesus came was to destroy sin. And by way of doing that, he gave us the ability to live out in the image that we were created for. In so doing, now I can see. How about that? Where are we going to start? Oh, and here's another verse. In verse 25 of the chapter 4, it says, who was delivered, speaking of Jesus, he was delivered up for our trespasses, our sin. Not because you're a sinner, but because you sin. Right? If he come only because you're a sinner, then he leaves you a sinner. We're not sinners anymore, right? Now we're the righteousness. We're not sinners. We were sinners. Now we're sons and daughters. Well, we've always been sons and daughters of God because you've always been created in his image and in his likeness. Always, from the beginning. Those same people, you know, and I'm not going to call any names, but there are some people probably that you may not get along with, but those same people are made in the image of the same God that we are all made in. There's none separated, right? So everybody you see, everybody's intent in life, everybody's, not just the people you like, we're made in his image and made to walk out that image. To live in that image. That's why you were created. That's why we still exist today, is to walk and live out the image that we were created in. And what does that look like, right? And we all kind of go back to Adam before the fall, and I don't know how many years that was or how long of a period it was before sin came in. I'm sure some of y'all probably know. Anybody know? I mean, I'm sure some theologians do. I mean, I don't know. But for however long it was, we kind of go back to that sometimes and think of what life would have been like. But, you know, don't even go there. Because my example for life is now what? Jesus. How he lived his life. Because now throughout all the scripture, I had a hard time for a long time trying to figure out that, or not to try to figure out, but to believe. Ephesians 5, I think, be imitators of God. That's hard for me to swallow. It's hard for me to swallow. Be imitators of God. But right after it says, walk in love. But be imitators of God. Not to put yourself on the same, because he is creator. I'm not even beginning to go there, right? It's not that you are God, because you're not. but be imitators of him. It's hard for me to swallow sometimes that I was even made in his image and in his likeness. He created me. He created me to live out the expressed image of that he created me to be, which is him. And now all throughout Scripture, Paul talks about growing up into all accounts to the full stature of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, that's you're talking about the fivefold ministry, and we all get excited about some of that sometimes, but the reason the fivefold ministry, you know, the evangelists, prophets, teachers, preachers, all those lists, the only reason they exist is to edify and to build up the body, to bring the body to the full stature of the man Jesus, right? The only reason it exists is to get us to a place of to the full stature, everything that we saw Jesus live out, that's what we are to live. Right? So our example is not Adam before the fall. Our example is, and maybe he is, but the example to live your life by is the man Jesus. Because he was a man, just like he was sin, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. The reason it's sinful flesh is simply because he showed us a way back to the Father. He showed us a way. It is a life. If he came to condemn sin, right, Romans 8, by sending his Son, right, God, by sending Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh, he condemned sin. It's wiped away, right? Sin's gone. Fear's gone. All the stuff all sin is, for the believer, is gone. You have no reason to live in sin anymore, do we? Yes. If you sin, then you have an advocate. Not when, you're going to live in it, just stay in it and waller in it. No. Is there times maybe of fear? Yes, absolutely. Should there be? No. Was Jesus afraid? 1 John also says, we'll go there too. Did I even read anything in Romans 5? I didn't, did I? Hey, let's read 12 just to say, let's read it. Is anybody there? Let's do Romans 5:12. Therefore, and I've always been taught not to do the therefore, but just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin. So death got here through sin, right? So death was never a part of the plan to begin with. Death was never a part of the plan. But this is not talking about a physical death. This is Adam's death back in Genesis 2, where if you eat the fruit, you'll die, but he really didn't in the natural die. So what died? His ability to image forth God, right? So this is the death. So sin came in, they ate the fruit, death came in. That death was their ability to image forth God. Now Jesus came from God, or God sent him, to restore everything that was lost through eating the fruit, right? All right, so we're there. So death spread to all men. Jump down to verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died that same death, your ability to image forth God, through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of that one man Jesus. He's a man. The one man Jesus. Not this superhero human something. Both male and female. Both man and God, yes, right? Because he's the exact image of the invisible God, but he's also man, giving us a way that we can live in the same likeness of Jesus. Not a little version of Jesus. Not that we can, but the same. We're gonna go back to the first, or not back, but 1 John. If you got your Bible, turn to 1 John. Let's do it. I like John. This is because of, we went to separation because of James. Now we're going to go to love because of Linda. Blame it on Linda. Blame it on Linda. Jesus being our advocate, this is 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 3 maybe. And by this we know that we have come to know him. That's God. We've come to know God. If we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, he's a liar. And the truth isn't in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is made perfect. By this we know that we are in him. How do we know that we're in him? Everybody, we're, you know, in him. We've talked about being in him, in Christ. But how do we know that we're in Christ? By the way we love. If God's love is being perfected in us, brought to fullness, brought to completion. Not saying we're there. It's in the process. We're in the journey. Okay? Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So if we're in Christ, then now we've been given permission to walk just like Jesus walked. Just like he walked. In all aspects. Not just a little bit of it, but everything. We give our permission sometimes. We give ourselves permission, I think, or I do, or I have. Well, you know, this is the best I can do. It's in my nature. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I get ill. Sometimes I get short. Sometimes I'm rude, right? It's just, it'll be all right. That's just how I am. But that's not, if Jesus was the expressed image of an invisible God, and he came to restore, to reconcile everything back to the original beginning. That's me. That's us. That's the earth. Everything. When Colossians says he's restored all things or reconciled all things are all things. Not just a few things. Not just the things that maybe are easy for you. Fear, he's restored that. Now we can live out. If I say I'm in Christ, then I should be able to walk in the same footsteps, just like Jesus walked. So don't, Marty, give yourself permission to be rude to people. It's not acceptable. Not that I'm going to lace up my bootstraps and try to harder and strive. It's not a thing of striving. Paul talks about in Ephesians and Colossians about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Paul also says it's not circumcision or uncircumcision that counts for anything, but it's a new creation. He says in Corinthians, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. All old things have passed away. All things. How many things? What does that mean? Everything has become new. I don't think it's just all those things that I wished I hadn't have done before salvation, right? It does include that. But if all things have become new, then I'm no longer rude. I'm no longer short with people. No one gets on my nerves. But yet sometimes I settle and give my permission to live in that. Sometimes we allow ourselves to live in fear. I mean, things are kind of overwhelming. What was that scripture when he said something about, what was that, John? Krista, come on up here. Krista, come here. This is my beautiful, lovely wife, Krista Smith. I want to read John. It's John 16. It's right before actually talks about what's the last? All right, John 17, 3, because she said it was 3, says, this is eternal life, is to know him, to know God, and to know Jesus whom he sent. So John 16, the verse right before John 17. What's the last verse in chapter 16? Huh? 33. See, somebody knows where I'm going already. I like it. Says, in this world, I think it's kind of, in this world, these other songs that sung talk about hard times coming, right? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. You don't say a prayer, me, my wife can account to this too. You say a prayer to receive the Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you think life is clean sailing from here on because God is supposed to make my life better. I come to God because I need a better life, which is true. But God did not come into the, Jesus didn't come into the earth to make your life better. He came to destroy sin, the thing that separated you from God. Communion. He's our reward. He's the reason that we exist. The reason you're on the earth today is to have communion with the holy God that created you. Period. And he has to be our reward. When we look to, there's nothing better than him, right? There's nothing better. All the stuff that the world has to offer, which is good, and there's nothing wrong with having what the, I mean, not the world offers. God blesses you, right? I mean, you have stuff. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But he's got to be our reward. The reason we come to him is because he allows us to come to him to begin with. And then when we get to him, man, there's nothing better than that. Nothing better. So when he becomes our reward, come here, Crystal. I'm serious when I say, come. She thought I was just joking. Because we're just talkers. Or I'm a talker. She's a professional. This is the amplified version of that verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you'll have tribulations. You're going to have trials. He doesn't fix those, right? I mean, I'm backing that up. He doesn't eliminate those from your life, right? They're not eliminated. But if we're going to grow up into Christ, then maybe I don't handle those trials and tribulations the way I did when I first began this journey. So when I first began this journey and my dad commits suicide and I'm mad at God for 9 months, right? All that does is for me to prove that I don't know the God that I say I do know. Because he didn't come to eliminate trials and tribulations. Jesus says, you're going to have them. What he does is help you through them. So maybe when I go through financial troubles, and at this time, really serving the Lord the best that we know how, it's like, oh God, why me? All the wrong questions. When you read scriptures and you hear all these questions that the apostles asked, he didn't really answer the stupid ones. I ask a lot of stupid questions. Why me? God, we've been given. We're givers. So why am I going through financial trouble? I'm not supposed to do this. Everything's supposed to be good for me, right? I'm supposed to be peachy clean. It's supposed to be perfect. It just proves that I don't know who I am and what I'm created to do and to be. Jesus was pure love. Pure. 2 Corinthians says, this is what Paul says, this is what motivates me. It's his love that motivates me to live the life that I live because I am absolutely convinced that Jesus died for me. And he died that those who live would no longer live for themselves but live a lives poured out for God. I'm alive to bring him honor and glory no matter what I face. When things are good, when things are bad. When you're dancing on the waves, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But it really is easy. I think when I learn, Jesus made a way for me to live the life that he lived. Nothing short. I'm not settling for anything short of the life that Jesus lived. Because all this time I thought, well, you know, one day when I meet him face to face, then I'll be like him. One day when I see him face to face, then I'll be like him. I mean, let me give myself permission to just live life. No, if I don't see it in Jesus' life, it doesn't have permission to live in my life. Whether it's being rude, whether it's being short, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Because what do you think Christians in the world today, not just in the church, but in the world, and again, this is a communication thing, you know. What are we known for? As a Christian, what are you known for? And I'm going to use this as an example. And I don't know KST from, I know where the building is, right? They're known for handlebars. Well, and obviously they're, you know, kind of being known for other stuff too. But you're known for bars. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on in that building other than bars, right? There's a lot of stuff. I mean, but it glosses over you're known for bars. Wherever your work, your life, you're known for something. As a teacher, stay-at-home mom, whatever, construction worker. But what are we known for? What is a Christian? What are we known for? Somebody? I mean, honestly, in the world. Now, I'm not saying what you perceive or what you think that we should be known for, but how are we being represented as a whole? Anybody? Somebody's got to have something to say. What are we being known for? What are we known for? Mr. House? Say it again. Prosperity gospel sometimes, what we're against, things that we are against. Charity. Anything else? Judgmental. Anybody else? Jesus says, we're not going to be known for our ability to preach, to teach, to be a talker, to lead worship. Didn't say you wouldn't. Go on mission trips. I'm all for that. Serve the poor. Serve each other. Casting out, the kingdom is now here. Now go therefore, casting out demons, raising the dead, healing the sick, right? These signs will follow who? The believer. Not just a casual somebody, but these signs will follow the believers. So those things we should be, right? They're following us. If we're believers, then we believe in raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out devils, right? I mean, that's part of the gospel. The kingdom is now here, and we walk in those, right? But you're not going to be known for that. If you are known for that, we're going to be known, thanks to Linda, in John 13:35. I think that's right. Somebody look up 13:35, John. I think it's 13, or is it? Is it? Ariel. Uh-huh.
Is it 13:35? I don't know. You think I'm a
No, I think it's 13:35. Somebody, 13:35, what does 13:35 say? So I'm going to be known as a disciple. What is a disciple? A follower of Christ by how I love. Set John 17 again. It says not, and some of you, I mean, and I know everybody in here knows exactly what we've, I mean, it's not like there's new revelation coming out of me talking. But we've come to understand and know it's the same love that God had for Jesus, now he has for us, right? The same kind of love that he had for Jesus, he has for us. Didn't change. John goes on to say somewhere around maybe chapter 17 in John, maybe verse 13, 16, 17, somewhere along in there. It's on the right column on the bottom right in my Bible. But it says, this same God, this same love, Not that he loved you, well, and he loved you in, with it, but now it's in you. God's love, because of the sacrifice and the debt that was paid through Jesus Christ on the cross by his blood, gives us access to live this out. Not just to go through life and survive and barely get by and hopefully one day get to heaven. We are to be, Jesus, I mean, Paul says Jesus was the expressed image of an invisible God. I am to be the expressed image of Jesus Christ. Nothing short of that. 1 John says this, no one has ever seen God. 1 John 4, no one has ever seen God. But if we love, then he is manifest, then his presence is seen, and then we manifest Jesus. We manifest God by how we love, not by anything else that we do as Christians, but how we love. Wherein this is love. I mean, the only way we know love is because it was demonstrated through Christ, right? God demonstrating his love to us by sending his son. His love is never in question. His love was in question when my dad committed suicide and I began to think that, oh man, there's something wrong with this picture. This ought not be. So his love was in question to me. Serving in church for, Lord, I don't even know how long. And financial troubles hit. Pew, boy, it was rough. It was hard. There wasn't nothing sexy about it. It's like, oh God, what did we do wrong, right? It's like, his love was in question. There's no way, God, you could love me if I'm going through financial trouble. It just proved that I didn't know this God that I said I did. Not in a way that I could. Anyone who does, well, I'm sorry, I should have told you. This is 1 John 4. Starts in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. He loved us first. You can't generate it up, but he loved us first. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love just don't know God. That's not me. That's John. Didn't say you didn't preach, didn't say you go on mission trips, didn't say you worship leader, didn't say you did all the things. But if you don't love, it just proves that you don't know God the way you could. There's a way that we can know him. Everybody knows 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13. Because if we're going to be known by our love, then we need to know what love is, right? If he's given us this book, he's our example, then there's got to be a way to live. And he flat out tells us how to live. We're going to be known by our love. If we know him, then we're going to walk out his love, and this is love. His love is never in question. Oh, man. In verse 1 of 13, Amplifies is a little wordy sometimes, so we'll, I don't know if you, yeah, don't even fool with that, because I don't really want to amplify it. I'm going to read what love actually is. But in chapter 13, starts off with, if I speak with tongues of men and angels and don't love, it's nothing, right? If I have all of faith, all prophecy, I move in the power of anything that you think that would display the glory of God and would categorize me as a man of God, man, he moves in wonders, he moves in signs, he moves in miracles, man, that joker has got it going on, right? Because if we had somebody up here right now that operated in the prophetic and started calling people out by name and reading your mail and telling you everything about you and all the things that no one else knew but you, you would think, oh man, God is real and he's talking to me. And we would be amazed at that. True. But Scripture says, if you can do that and you don't love, then it's of no value. All of these things that we deem as, man, that's out there, that's good. If you don't love, it's nothing. And this is love. It starts in verse 4. And this is amplified, so it's going to be a little different probably from some. Love endures long. It's patient. You don't have to try to be patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. It's kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious. It doesn't display itself haughtily. I'm going to kind of... We talk, you know, I believe in signs and wonders, miracles, all the stuff, right? And we use Scripture a lot, you know, heaven on earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness there. I mean, that's one of the Scriptures that we use, which is true, right? There's no sickness in heaven. So we don't have to live in sickness. There's not jealousy in heaven. There's no hate in heaven. There's no conflict in heaven. Only love. No arrogance, no pride. Verse 5, it's not conceited or arrogant or inflated with pride. It's not rude. It's me. It's not rude, Marty, and it does not act become unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Kind of reminds me of Jesus. He didn't take an account of all the evil or all the wrongdoing that was done to him. Not one time did you. No retaliation. No defending himself. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. If you've done me wrong, man, I'm going to get some justice. That's not the way of Jesus. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under everything and everything that becomes, is never ready to believe. It is ever ready to believe the very best of every person. Its hopes never fades. It endures forever. Love never fails. So if God has made, Jesus has made a way for us to live out this love, his love is never in question. So you didn't come to him for your life to be good. You came to him because he is worthy of everything that he's paid for, and that is a life lived for his honor and his glory. Linda also said, and this is in Matthew 5, I think, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its flavor or its ability to influence, then it's absolutely no good and you throw it out. And it becomes a path for people to walk on. You are the salt of the earth. You were made to influence culture, life, everything that exists, everything that you are a part of. You were made to influence it. You were made to bring light to the darkness. It goes on to say, Matthew 5, right after being the salt of the earth, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works, and that would bring God glory. The reason we are here, not here, the reason we exist is to bring God glory, to bring God honor, purely, simple. not so life will go well for you. When we come to Him looking for Him to make things better in our lives, you wind up like me for those years of that I thought He was supposed to be my genie in the bottle. And then when I said the magic words, things were supposed to get better. No, what He did was equip me to where when those things happen, and you can pray against them. I'm not saying that you know, you shouldn't. Scripture says tribulation's coming, trials are coming. Things are going to happen that you don't want. But what He does is equip you to be able to handle it, to be able to walk through it, because you know His love just never fails. It's always going to be there, right? So His love is never in question. And when His love, when we come to Him for that and we know the reason we exist, then He doesn't fail us when things don't go right for us. That is never the issue. So then we can live out love. We don't have to be rude. We don't have to be any of that stuff that says love is not. So when things come your way, you're good. Because what we're going to do in the midst of losing your job or financial problems or your kids are acting stupid or your wife, your husband, whatever, they don't dictate, they don't change, or they don't influence your walk with the Lord whatsoever. It's not that you ignore it. It just doesn't have the place to influence you. We don't ignore. I mean, you can say prayers. My wife got a diagnosis about 3 months ago. We're not ignoring it. But it does have the ability. Our job is to not let that diagnosis influence the way we do life. It can't. It can, but it shouldn't, because Jesus is still Lord. I know why I'm alive, and through the diagnosis, then He shines through me. That's the only reason I exist. It doesn't matter if you're at KST. It doesn't matter if you're at Bremen City Schools. It doesn't matter if you're at, God, I forgot the place you worked, but telling everybody what to do. No, I'm just joking. Construction, whatever you do, the hospitals. Students, bless your heart. See, I didn't even come over here. I usually come over here a lot, and I didn't even do it. You're proud, right? Yeah, I just embarrassed you really bad. But it doesn't matter what you're doing. The only reason that we exist and what we should be doing through the midst of it is making sure that we're shining. Right? Period. So it doesn't influence. So it's not, my relationship with the Lord is going as just as good as how my day is going. So if I have a bad day, then my relationship with the Lord, so is not good. So who did we become? Who did we allow to become Lord? The circumstance, or how my day is going, or Jesus Lord? And this is the price He paid. Now I'm redeemed. I'm justified. Justification is all by faith. And every bit of this is by faith, right? Right? Romans 5 starts off in verse 1. Now being justified by faith. I think it does. I don't remember if it does or not. But justification comes through faith. So you're only justified if you believe you're justified. What is justification? Justified never sinning. It's bigger than justified never sinning. Justification is He wiped as if sin never happened. Right? It's not just I've not sinned. Justification is Jesus come in and He justified us through His one act of righteousness. Now sin is destroyed. It is as if it had never happened. So now I am free to live, not in sin. I am free to live the price that He paid and to manifest His glory in everything I do. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Absolutely, it's possible. He says, follow me. What kind of God is going to say, follow me, if we can't follow him? Follow me. The life I lived, not me, but Jesus, the life I lived, now you can live. Follow me. But how you're going to do that is denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following. We can do this. We can do this. And I'm about to do something that's going to be kind of weird, possibly. Because you're probably wondering, I mean, why is Krista up here? Just because she's my comfort, I guess. I don't know. And I don't even, what time is it? God, I've probably been rambling a long time, ain't I? How many? Oh, it must be late then. God, I didn't think I'd talk that long. Huh? Obey God. And we're going to, because Krista looked at me and said, you know, Marty. But anyway, and then the song is all the worship. And I joke about that, but it's really true. I mean, the heart of the guys that when they're saying what they're believing and what's taking place in their lives and in this room and what they want to release into this room is real. So the songs and the order that they come in, I don't know, maybe the order, but the songs are their life. I mean, they're for us. I mean, out of those songs is what I talked about. But then there's one song that's Here I Am. And then we had a word. So you can have it all, Lord, here I am. You can have it all. So
what you want me to do?
Whatever you want to do. No, but you got to hurry, though, because I've already rambled too long. Our story, she was diagnosed with cancer 3 months ago, right? But the beauty, and I've been telling a lot of guys our story, and I say it's been fun. And they look at you like, not quite sure I get you. And when I say fun, it's the fruit that has come or came. Come, just say it. Maybe some English teachers. But the fruit that has been birthed out of this is a really good thing. It's been fun to watch our lives. Because when years ago, when goofiness were bad things happened in my life, and it was always God's love was in question every time. Every time his love was in question, it's like, you can't love me if things go bad for me. I didn't know that bad things are going to happen. You can pray against them. You can do all that you can. I mean, you can do all those things. But Scripture says tribulations, and I'm not talking about the great tribulation. I'm talking about tribulation, times of trouble. But he says, rejoice, basically. Be of good cheer. When troubles come, be of good cheer. Try that on. I mean, really, try that on. He says, clothe yourself with love, put Jesus on, clothe yourself with that. Well, clothe yourself with, be of good cheer when times of trouble come. But if we couldn't follow him, he wouldn't have said to follow him. So it's got to be true or it's not. So when the rubber hits the road, what are you going to believe? Are we going to believe this? Or are we going to believe this flesh suit? Because I'm spirit, right? I am spirit. I have a soul, and it lives in this body. Well, you're not killing the spirit, because my spirit has been renewed. My spirit and his is one. The spirit of the Most High God lives in me. The thing you may, I mean, I'm going to die possibly one day, but the thing that lives inside of me will never die. I'm not dying. I may not be on the earth, but I'm not dying. So when I hold I'm not dying in light of a diagnosis that says you're probably going to die, then I've got to choose something. And I can waver, and I can all those things. But it's got to be true, or it's got to be, you know, some fairy tale, Poof the Magic Dragon. Well, it's not. You've got to believe something. I'm putting all my chips in on I was created to be in his likeness. The enemy came to separate me from that. Jesus came to restore that. So from this day forward, or from many days ago, we're going to choose to follow in his likeness. We're going to live that, right? No matter what else may come, you choose to live into that. And we can live out this love thing that we've been called to, because that's how the world's going to know him. And that's how, well, John talks about in 17, that's how the world would know him, and that God sent Jesus into the earth is because we're so one. That's how the world will know. But then how the world will know we're his disciples is how well we love. So, Krista wasn't going to talk, so I did. You really want to say anything? Okay, I think I've shared enough. Well, how about that? How about that? All right, everybody stand to your feet. If you don't want to, that's fine. If you do, that's fine. We're going to stand to your feet. Father, we are honored to be called your children. We're honored. We're honored. We're honored. You've equipped us to walk out this life of love, and that's what we're going to lean into. We're going to put off the old life. All my rudeness is not me anymore. That is not the reason I was created. I'm not rude. I'm kind, I'm patient, I'm loving. That's who I am. That's who I was created to be, and that's who we are. We put off the old, we put on the new, the likeness of the man Jesus that showed us a way back to you, Father. Jesus is the way back to the Father. Thank you, Father, that you made a way to restore us back to yourself. And we lean into that with all that's within us. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you teach us and you lead us into all truth. Father, we are amazed by you. Amen. Hey, y'all have a great day. I think the sun's going to leave. Oh, here comes James. It's going to be a beautiful day. I think the sun's coming out.
All right. I don't do this. It's not my thing, but... We just heard some information that I didn't know. There's a song right now that Maverick City does that we're going to do. And it talks about the story that I will tell. The story that I will tell. After I've walked through this tribulation, after I've walked through this, there's a story that I'm going to tell. And that story is not of defeat, but that is a story of a victory, and the victory of my God. And the powerful God that I serve, and the reason that I walk through this is because there's a story that I am going to get to tell. I don't know what the story is, and I don't know the details of it, and I don't know how it's going to go, but there is a story that I will tell, and that story says that my God loves me, and that my God is my King, and my God is my Savior, and that He wants good things for me. And we're going to sing that song as soon as we can, because that song is true. It's powerful. And when you walk through something, there's reason you're walking through that is because there is a story that He wants to tell through your life. And He has a story He wants to tell through your life. And there's no way I'm walking out of this church without all of us praying. If we need to turn these cameras off, that's fine. Turn them off, because I'm about to be anti-COVID. Because we're going to come down here, we'll pray for my sister. I'm going to pray for my brother. That's the thing. So if you need to turn them off, turn them off. I don't really care right now.
When the song came out, when the song, Here I Am, about, you know, and then telling your story, and we've said that, right? I mean, and I think you go to Second Corinthians. I don't remember what chapter, but it talks about all the stuff that you basically go through, and Paul was talking about referring it to him. It's for somebody else, right? I mean, it's the story that you tell. I don't know if that's where that song was birthed out of, but that's the reason you go through, right? You go through, and it's your testimony, and it's for other people. It's meant to share. It's meant to go out. It's you know, it's maybe ugly and it may be in the process, but and this is still in the process, but it's all good, right? Oh yeah, Krista's
okay. I'm gonna. This is not gonna be the full story. I was standing over there this morning, and God said, "Tell Marty it is okay." I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in January, but you know, I'm gonna just tell real quick. The minute the doctor called me, it was 3:30 in the afternoon. I left the building. It was about 3:45. I had gotten in my car, and I like peace and quiet. I'm a quiet girl. I just like for it to be real peaceful and real quiet. Didn't have the radio. I normally don't even have the radio on. Earlier that day at lunch, I'd gotten in the car, and there was some song on, and it was really like a good upbeat song. And I mean, I had the sunroof open. I had the music turned up. It was great. And so I had forgotten to turn it down. When I get in the car, the song by Tanya something, "It's Gonna Be Okay." That was the very word that I heard. I cried all the way home. And I didn't cry out of fear. I cried because God said, "It's gonna be okay. Regardless, at the end of the day, it's okay." And it is okay. Okay, I've had some surgeries. Cancer's gone. I'm gonna start some radiation. It's good. It is part of my story. And I wish... I swear my brain turns and spins, and you said, when you said right here, you said you're going to tell your story, and there was one word that you said, and I'll remember it. I'll have to go back to my notes because I have to write things down, and it was exactly what God had said to me, and I wrote it down. I will write a book one day, and I will tell my story, but I do want you to know I am good. I'm good. God has been so good. He's been so faithful. Marty says it's been fun. Hey, it has been fun. My girls have been tremendous. I thought they knew, you know, I always knew they loved their mama, but I'm telling you, those girls love their mama. And, you know, Marty's been wonderful. I have shared with a few friends but honestly, it wasn't out of pity. I don't want pity. I don't want attention, but I do want to give God glory. And I think that's important, and that's why he told me today. He said, it's okay to share, because he does deserve glory. He loves us so much, and, you know, it wasn't a journey I wanted for myself, still not a journey I want for myself, but hallelujah that he gave me the journey because he loves me, and I'll give it away. I will give the story away, and I'll give, hopefully, the strength and the peace. I've had such supernatural peace. It has been unbelievable. Had this happened to me 10 years ago, I don't know that I would be where I am. But it was like, okay, God, I really should be fearful here. Like, I really, you know, and there were times, hey, I buried myself. I bought wedding dresses with my girls. You know, I was going to do all these things in my mind, and I was like, absolutely not. God loves me. He said it was going to be okay. That's what I'm going to walk in. And I'm telling you, I got up every day and said, okay, Father, you said it was going to be okay. It's going to be okay, regardless at the end of the day. That's the story in a nutshell. And thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you for loving Marty and myself. Thank you.
We're gonna pray for you. Okay. We're gonna pray for you. And however everybody's comfortable. I know I said that, but however you're comfortable, ladies, if y'all could come down, I like this. I feel like this is how God works. If the ladies could come down and surround Krista, and us men can come in behind, and we're gonna pray that this thing's gone and it's gonna stay gone, and. Thank you for sharing, though, because that gives us, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is how you walk through that storm. This is how you get out of that boat. This is how you do it. You just have faith that it's him, not us. It's him, not us. So y'all just, y'all begin to pray. I'll lead us since I've got this microphone, but y'all please just lift this up. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, God. God, we just love our sister Krista. We love our brother. We love this family. God, we just want you just to come into this place right now, God, and we just believe together. as a body, that you have the best for Krista. You have the best for her life. You have the best path for her. That you want life. You want healing. You want wholeness. You want fullness in her life, God. We believe that because that's what your word says. That's what you tell us that you want. So we believe that that's what you want, God. So we just come in agreement with you right now that that's what you want for her life, God. God, we thank you for their boldness. For them just to let us see what's going on in their life so that we can just be encouraged by your love. They point to you, not themselves, God. Thank you so much for that, God. Thank you so much that we've had the opportunity to see that this morning, God. And we just want to come alongside them. They're not walking this journey alone. There's not one step that they'll take by themselves. Most importantly, you're walking with them, God, but we want to let them know that we're walking with them as well, that we're here as well, that we're here to love and support them, and to be with them through this walk. But God, we just pray right now that it's over. The walk's done. We're finished. And God, we just pray that cancer has no place in Krista's body, has no place anywhere in her body, God. Lord, I take it, cancer has no place in this house. It has no place in anyone in this house. We will not allow it. We stand right now on God's word, and we say God's word says it has no place here. You say that. So, God, we just lift that up to you this morning. We are so thankful, God, that you've already taken care of this, God. We are so thankful this morning for the story that we are going to tell. The story that Marty and Krista have to tell right now. What a beautiful story of who you are. God, I pray, Lord, that this encourages us all to tell our story, because we don't know without our story being told you work through us. So this morning, God, we just thank you so much for this family. We thank you so much for the ministry that they have. And that's all well and good, God. But, God, we just thank you for who they are. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, God, cancer has no place. It has no place. And, God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time, God. We thank you for our brothers and sisters, God. We just thank you for everyone here, God. Please, just protection over us, God. But more importantly, God, your will. God, we want your will. We want you to shine through the way you want to shine through, God. Lord, we just love you this morning. Thank you for this time, God. And just be with us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.